3rd of August marked the first anniversary of Ebrahim Raisi taking office in Iran after a rigged election engineered by the Mullah's supreme leader. The past year in Iran saw a staggering rise in executions and clampdown on Iranian women. That's in addition to a bankrupt economy with people becoming poorer every day and a growing army of the unemployed and hungry. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the NCRI Women's Committee podcast. We're going to discuss the impact of Raisi's presidency in Iran, especially as it relates to women's rights and conditions. I'd like to begin by asking this question: who is Raisi and why did Khamenei pick him as his president?
Raisi is a mass murderer and one of the key perpetrators of the massacre of 30,000 political prisoners in 1988. In short, Raisi earned his credentials in the regime as a stone-hearted killer who moved up the hierarchy of power after the 1979 revolution with a 40-year track record for execution and repression. Raisi was Khamenei's preferred choice for president because he needed such a criminal as head of the executive branch to confront the growing discontent and widespread protests. And we can see that executions and suppression of women have seen an unprecedented new surge under Raisi.
I heard that in addition to the 1988 massacre, Raisi is implicated in ongoing crimes as well.
Yes. During the time he headed the judiciary, Raisi carried out direct orders from Khamenei and was personally involved in the clampdown on the nationwide protests and uprising of November 2019, where the forces under his command killed 1,500 demonstrators, which included 400 women. They also arrested and detained more than 12,000 protesters. Many of these protesters were either killed under torture or were forced to make false confessions against themselves and then executed. Of course, the Iranian regime has failed to publicly and officially acknowledge the existence of the mass graves of the victims of the 1988 massacre. They've concealed their locations, causing immeasurable suffering to the families who are still seeking answers about their missing loved ones. So, according to international law, this crime against humanity, the crime of enforced disappearance, persists until the state reveals the fate or whereabouts of the victims. If the disappeared person is dead, the state must return the remains of the victims to his or her family. And Raisi is implicated in all these crimes against humanity.
Now, I've heard that the number of persons executed under Raisi has been unprecedentedly high. Can you brief us a bit on that?
Yes. Since the 3rd of August 2021, when Raisi officially took office, until the 3rd of August this year, at least 521 persons have been executed in Iran. Compare that to 366 executions in 2021 and 255 executions in 2020. 22 of those executed this year were women. Again, compare that to the average of 15 women executed per year since August 2013.
That's 7 more than the average annual rate and 1.5-fold increase.
The real number is likely higher given the secrecy around the number of death sentences the Iranian authorities impose and carry out. According to the data collected by the Iranian resistance, at least 7 prisoners died under torture in prisons. Some other prisoners died due to denial of medical treatment. Another 5,370 persons are on the death row. Raisi has also reinstated public hangings and cruel punishments such as stoning, amputation of fingers, and blinding.
Wow, blinding, that's terrible.
Yes, just on the 1st of August, the state media in Iran reported that the blinding verdicts for 2 men and a woman would be implemented. The situation is so horrible. Amnesty International issued a press release pointing out that, quote, the Iranian authorities have embarked on an execution spree. It warned that if executions continue at this horrifying pace, they would soon surpass the total of executions recorded for the whole of 2021. Amnesty also underlined that the executions are systematically carried out after grossly unfair trials. Amnesty International added, and I quote, "The state machinery is carrying out killings on a mass scale across the country in an abhorrent assault on the right to life. Iran's staggering execution toll for the first half of this year has chilling echoes of 2015 when there was another shocking spike."
I want to move on to another hallmark of Raisi's presidency. These days, we hear of a remarkable escalation in the suppression of women using the pretext of enforcing the mandatory hijab.
That's true. The scale of harassment of Iranian women and their arrest and detention this year has been more horrendous, reminding one of the early years of the Mullah's regime. On the 5th of July, Raisi ordered the re-implementation of a plan adopted in 2005 to enforce the compulsory veil. So the clampdown on women took an unprecedented height in early July, affecting all areas of the life of Iran's freedom-loving women. Raisi took some extra measures this year. For example, 2 new IRGC bases, which started the work in May, to monitor women and impose more restrictions on them at work and in public. The regime unleashed its plainclothes and official guidance patrols in the streets, who are very violent in dealing with women whom they consider improperly veiled. In some cities, women have been barred from entering metro stations, hospitals, and offices, and deprived of public services if they do not observe the mandatory hijab. In others, they've been barred from entering airports.
Could you please explain what are these guidance patrols and what do they do?
The guidance patrols are usually made up of 2 men and 2 women who are members of the state security force, and their job is to stop women on the streets and arrest them for breaking the state's rules on hijab. There are also invisible patrols who do the monitoring in plain clothes and report the women to the official guidance patrols. People have reported a remarkable increase in the number of guidance patrols in various cities. These patrols' treatment of women is very violent. They use indecent and humiliating language. They push and shove women into the police van. There have been reports and many video clips of the male agents brutalizing women. While arresting them for not covering themselves, these agents dare to touch women's body to arrest them. There have been reports of female agents twisting and pulling women's hair at the time of arrest.
What you've explained so far is mind-boggling. Do you also have numbers on the women arrested for breaching the rules on hijab?
Yes. In 2016, the commander of the state security force declared that they arrest 2,000 women every day for breaking the hijab rules. Of course, that's from 6 years ago, and the figures are certainly much higher now. The State Security Force commanders in each city or province have also talked about giving verbal warnings to some 20,000, 30,000, or 40,000 women and impounding hundreds of cars every month.
Why is Raisi spending so much on imposing the veil? I noticed that in addition to the 27 government ministries and agencies who have specific tasks for imposing the veil, he has activated another 120 organs. Why doesn't he spend his money to create jobs for so many people?
Well, the straightforward answer to your question is that Khamenei and Raisi don't care about people's lives. Just like executions, suppression of women and cracking down on public under the pretext of enforcing the compulsory veil, also serve their purpose of terrorizing the public and prolonging their corrupt and decrepit rule. The suppression of women went so far as to extract forced confessions from opponents of the compulsory hijab and broadcast them on state TV. It proves that the fate of the mullah's regime is tied to women's freedoms that pose an existential threat to the Karakul regime. They need to keep people preoccupied with unemployment, economic problems, and poverty to prevent them from taking to the streets to protest the mullah's oppressive rule. That's why, right in the middle of floods, when thousands of people were losing their homes and belongings, Raisi met with guidance patrols to remind them of their divine duty.
To sum up our discussions in this episode, I must say that Ebrahim Raisi's only achievement after 1 year has been the enforcement of the hijab and chastity law against women. That's in addition to a staggering increase in the wave of executions. However, these repressive measures only fuel the people's anger and discontent. Iranian women are at the forefront of protests and uprisings. By forming resistance units and participating in their activities, they play a valuable role in the uprisings to overthrow the mullah's regime. Iranian women and youth will undoubtedly overthrow the clerical regime. In the meantime, the international community must not recognize Raisi as president. The families and survivors of the victims of the 1988 massacre, the November 2019 protests, and other victims of the clerical regime urge the UN not to grant visa to this mass murderer and the killer of the Iranian people. Instead, the UN needs to arrange for an international tribunal to prosecute Ebrahim Raisi for his crimes against humanity, especially in the summer of 1988. That's all for now. For more details on what we discussed in this episode, please visit our website, woman.ncr-iran.org. You can click the tags on forced hijab and executions in the bottom of the first page to get all the information you want on these issues. Thanks for listening. Until our next episode, we wish you the happiest days.